This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I hope you're enjoying your day. Today we're going to have a good show, and we're going to have one of our regular guests on again.
It's a great show.
I know, great show. Exactly. And we're going to have one of our regular guests. She always provides some great insight on what's going on with the federal market, the federal career market, but also expandingly just solutions for federal government and, you know, where apps are going and everything else as this market is changing. Linda Rick, she is the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run aviewcentral.com, which is one of the federal job sites, but they also are providing a number of solutions.
Right.
Everything, and we'll talk about some of them, everything from what's going on with career pathways to also a new CEM module, which is a conference and event module that we'll talk about that kind of spawned out of some recent news that we'll talk about. But we'll get to that later on the show. Linda, welcome back to Fed Access.
Hello.
You went to FOSSI earlier this year, and I think that's the last time we talked.
Yeah.
And you guys had a lot of stuff going on at FOSSI and had this real cool layout and real zen-like layout. You know, talk to us, I mean, from your perspective, I mean, as being a solution provider to government. Mm-hmm. You know, want to talk to us about your experience at FOSSI. I know you have some interesting apps, some things that are really kind of taken off that are very relevant. Talk to us about that. And then, you know, talk to us about where do you think we're going in terms of government and solutions. Are we headed towards the app market? Are we headed towards government saying, you know what, we need to open this up and be more public-private partnerships? Where do you think we're headed? Where do you think we should head?
Right. Well, first of all, FOSSI was terrific. It was not only, you know, just a lot of fun, but it allowed us a kind of a select market sample of federal employees that we could test fly some of our mobile apps with and get their reaction to them. And the reaction was extremely positive. We got, in fact, as the conference rolled on, attendance actually picked up because people were in our booth looking at what we were doing with mobile apps and then calling their friends in. And this is one of those cases where Aview doesn't do this every year, but occasionally every two or three years, we go out and we do this huge sort of push around, you know, getting our presence out there, but also making sure that people are giving us feedback on what kinds of solutions they're looking for. So the hit of FOSSI for us was the iPad app we have for retirement readiness.
Oh, wow.
Which was very cool.
Okay.
And I actually...
I wonder why that was.
Yeah. you know, we probably had several thousand
really?
People, yeah, through, and they stayed, listened to the demonstrations, but also they got a chance to see the iPad apps up close, and we had, you know, folks there with the iPads helping them do that. But the retirement readiness was one of the nice things about it is it's a holistic app, so it takes you through what it's going to be like, what lifestyle changes you're going to have. Are you thinking through what you're going to do, how you're going to live your life in the post-retirement phase, and then it goes into the economics of it and your financial awareness, and it actually scores you on a readiness index.
Okay.
So it says, okay, here's what you ought to know about and all that. And then it gives you a bunch of resources that include all the forms that you need to have filled out if you're going to put something together. So what it does is it helps somebody privately make that sort of consideration of whether they're ready or not. It does a little bit of counseling. It's kind of like a pre-retirement seminar in an app.
Okay.
And the results from that were just wildly positive. Wow. I mean, you know, just so we're due to get that up in the App Store.
Okay.
It'll be just available through, you know, through the App Store and okay. downloadable that way. And then
will it be free?
No.
Okay.
There will be a charge for it. And frankly, I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be ballparked yet. But it will not be, you know, a hugely expensive app. We did benchmark the most expensive app in the App Store, and just so you know, it's $350.
Oh, is it really?
So
I thought you were going to say $9.99.
I know, but it won't be like that.
Right.
But and then we got a lot of calls afterwards from unions.
Okay.
That are looking to provide member services and counseling on retirement readiness, and so I personally didn't expect that.
Okay.
So when it came through, I thought, well, that's kind of a cool way to, you know, provide that.
The question that it leads me to ask is, you know, and we're headed more towards apps, and I know you've been an advocate of apps because you have been on the trailblaze of apps, you know, ever since the iPad came out.
Yep.
Why apps sometimes rather than just an application on the computer? I mean, is it easier to develop? Is it is the turnaround time in terms of getting an app together? Is that easier than to actually get a website together? I mean, what is that?
Yeah, I think the app development process can be. You know, very, very rapid.
Okay.
So because the nature of it is speed and agility, right? And when you think about it, it's kind of the sort of underlying cultural value of mobile devices is agility.
Right.
And so what we found was, I don't think we could have gotten there as fast with some of these, like the conference and event management app. I don't think we could have gotten there as quickly had we not had the enterprise class systems that we have in that we've spent so much time making sure was completely responsive to federal agency needs and all that. So having that as a base, this is a really easy launch point then. So, but what we are finding is agencies, I think people in general, are no longer interested in the 80s, 90s big, you know, sort of warship, level types of systems.
Enterprise carrier types.
And a lot of that's because a lot of companies that used to produce those products, if you look at Oracle now and some of these other companies, they're all going to cloud-based solutions. Well, cloud-based solutions inherently are lightweight, thin. They tend to be what I call micro apps. Mm-hmm. They're very focused on a specific problem that you're trying to solve. So I like that trend a great deal because I think that's how people think, you know.
Right.
And when you want to do something on your iPad or your iPhone, you go to the App Store and see somebody who's built something for that.
Just hit it. Yeah. Right.
3 seconds later, you're up and running. I mean, that's the nature of where I think technology is.
And I mean, there's a certain level of fluidity in which you can go from a computer to your iPad or your Droid or whatever it is.
Right.
And still have the same information and still have access to the same services.
Right.
And still in a secure environment.
You know,
as I'm picking up my iPad right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do you see that government agencies are kind of maybe endorsing, you know, their federal workers using the iPad more? I mean, or is it going to be just an iPad dynamic, or will it be, you know, the Samsung tablet? I mean, are we headed, you know, where are we headed in terms of mobile application?
I think the mobile apps have to be interchangeable by platform. So you have to have, you know, your Android apps. You really have to branch out because a lot of folks culturally or occupationally, like a lot of our engineers absolutely prefer the Android.
Okay.
Wouldn't touch an iPhone.
Okay.
And so then you've got a lot of folks that are
pure Apple
all the way. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of, and you want to be able to meet the needs of all the audiences. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you ought to be, specific to an operating system, but I do think that where this goes at the end of the day is the bring your own device, the BYOD initiatives that these agencies have, because people do always bring their own personal devices to work, and there's no reason you can't have the security layers that you need around when they access or how they access any information that's work related.
Right.
So, you know, to me, it saves the government a ton of money.
Right.
If you build apps that go across multiple platforms, then you don't really have to worry about whether or not that app's going to work on everybody's device. You know, so you need to pay attention to that. And that's kind of where we are now, is moving off into, you know, Android, basically Android apps. And then I think, you know, at the end of the day, the government ends up with a highly mobile workforce that can telecommute and do some of these other things that are really not employee benefits as much as they are huge cost-saving initiatives for the government. So now you're really developing a cadre of people who are connected all the time, but not tethered. You know, to a cubicle.
Right. You know, and I want to talk about this. We need to take a quick break, but as we go forward, I mean, I know you have created, you know, beyond the retirement app, you know, we've got some programs going on, like career pathways and other things for students. And, you know, now you're, you know, using AVIEW and maybe other things and maybe other apps, you're starting to create programs that are going to allow students and others to really access government and be engaged. Is
right.
that correct?
Right.
I want to talk about that when we return. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's the co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run AVIEWCentral.com. They got a number of different applications that agencies are starting to use. The retirement app will be on the market for all those federal workers who are thinking about retiring over the next year. When is that going to be?
Probably.
Soon? Okay.
Yeah.
In the next couple of months, it'll be on the
Actually, next couple of weeks,
okay,
hopefully.
Okay, next couple of weeks, it'll be on the market on the App Store for all those federal retirees that are out there. But they are doing a number of different solutions, and we're talking about those solutions today on Fed Access.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back after this break.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Staying focused on your mission requires making smart decisions and mitigating unnecessary risks. That's why many agencies turn to GSA. With unparalleled experience in acquisition and financial compliance and technical expertise, GSA makes it easy for federal civilian and military customers to maintain mission focus and enhance program performance by adding value. With trained professionals in contracting, financial, and program management, GSA stands ready to help execute large-scale and or complex and or sensitive IT and professional services projects while maintaining seamless compliance with today's tough mandates. With GSA, you gain a trusted partner to ensure delivery promises are kept on time, on budget, and at best value. To learn how GSA can help, call 703-605-3699. That's 703-605-3699. Or visit gsa.gov/AAS. That's gsa.gov/AAS. GSA, providing custom solutions to your complex requirements.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, MetLife, and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
This is John Gilroy from Federal Tech Talk. You know, I've done over 260 interviews here on Federal News Radio, but many listeners still ask, what does your company do, John? My company is called Armature. For the past decade, we have worked with organizations that have programs for conformity assessment, accreditation, standards, and policy management. Is your agency responsible for conformity assessment? If so, then please visit our website, armaturecorp.com. We can help.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas. Join host Michael Keegan next week for The Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. How do we enhance national competitiveness? What about getting big things done in government? Tune in to The Business of Government magazine next week and find out. Hear from government executives Gene Dodaro, Michael Astru, Admiral Robert Papp, Aaron Connaughton, Tish Long, and Stephen Kempf next week on The Business of Government Hour.
Pooling together really rewards. Van pools have now been added to the popular pool rewards program. If you currently drive alone to work and can carpool at least 2 days a week or form a new van pool, you may qualify for a cash incentive or reduced commuting costs. Visit commuterconnections.org. Click on pool rewards to find out more. Need to find others to rideshare with? Commuter Connections provides free ride matching services too. Pool rewards. It pays to rideshare. Some restrictions apply. Visit commuterconnections.org today to get started.
Join the Association for Federal Information Resources Management Awards Luncheon and celebrate as they applaud achievement in the federal IT community. The annual Affirm Leadership Awards recognize individuals and groups who are leading innovation in government. The awardees will be applauded Tuesday, June 12, 2012, at the Affirm Leadership Awards Luncheon at the Capitol Hilton, 1001 16th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. Register today at affirm.org.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking today about solutions to federal government problems. I mean, everything from HR solutions, yep, dealing with career retirement solutions, conference solutions. What is the dynamic of providing solutions? And it seems as if one piece of this is using mobile apps, mm-hmm, using apps that are, you know, either on the iPad or the Android or things that people can access very, very easily, but do some great work on these applications. We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com, but they're also running a number of different solutions for, mm-hmm, government agencies. And we're talking about the speed in which you can get solutions up and running for government agencies very, very quickly. But, you know, Linda, the question that comes to my mind is, you know, we hear about all these issues, mm-hmm, but what is the hesitation? What is the hesitation, yeah, for people to... You know, because, you know, apps can get up like that, just like as you showed.
Right.
You know, but what's the hesitation for government agencies to have this kind of speedy process time and saying, you know what, I can get that Social Security app up. I can get this up.
Right, right. I think it's probably twofold. One is the traditional way the government selects technology solutions is they spend a great deal of time on requirements development. Sure. They may spend a great deal of time on process reengineering. So you know, one thing that the sort of evaluation of IT solutions always takes a great deal of time to work up to, and then generally the procurement cycle is also very, very long. So you end up with, in a lot of cases, you know, you end up with an agency that buys something to solve a problem it had 5 years ago or 10 years ago even, that it defined at that time. And a lot of times what happens is the procurement process and the methodology for making these technology selections works from a system requirements definition based on a business process and then moves from that point out. Okay. What we do is we go from the business problem in.
Okay.
So we're looking at, there's a result. It is a visible result. It's undesirable. So let's take the whole thing with the recent, you know, sort of scandal around the conference, sure, costs and all of that.
With GSA, yeah.
Yeah, with GSA. And so you've got, there's a problem, and then you see the problem. It becomes obviously it has legs. It's trending, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you know that there will be compliance and there will be, mm-hmm, people who want to have oversight and all those kinds of things. So we work from the problem into the solution set as opposed to from the process out.
Okay.
And I think that the process out is a product of literally of 1980s, 1990s IT thought processes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you'll hear agencies talk about, well, we do agile programming, mm-hmm, as if that is different or it creates more agility. It doesn't. Agile programming, despite its name, is only going to be as good as or as rapid as the process by which you define what it is you want the technology to do.
Sure.
Okay, so that's the essence of it.
And if it can really solve the problem.
Right.
You know, because if it's not really solving the problem, yeah, no matter what you do, no matter what the process is, I mean, a lot of these systems, right, came online and didn't really truly solve problems.
Right, and the other part of that I think is important is government does focus exhaustively on process reengineering,
okay,
and this is all a theoretical product, right? It's like, it's so you go out and you see how it's being done now and you process map it. And it just reminds me of the old time and motion studies, okay. Right? So, right. You know, it's just a TQM, you sure. know, mm-hmm. now it's, you know, it's Lean Six Sigma, right. you know, that right. stuff. That process of trying to do that is so ineffective. It is much easier to learn mm-hmm. where the inefficiencies and log jams are by putting a solution in place and then watching people use it and seeing what they do with it. And that tells you, you know, where you need to make changes.
You know, you brought to mind, and we will get to it later, but let's get to it now, your CEM kind of process, because, mm-hmm. you know, that scandal about GSA kind of came to light, you know, mm-hmm. just recently.
Yep.
And, you know, from what I'm hearing is, and I'm looking at the process right now, but you heard about that scandal, and then mm-hmm. as a solution provider said, listen, we can ramp up and develop a solution to those issues that government agencies won't have to run into those compliant issues again.
Right.
And that was a very, very short, I mean, for you, what's the window of that, a development of getting this developed?
Well, we have an enterprise learning management system okay. that dealt with a lot of the component pieces. So AVIEW Architects, I call it Lego mm-hmm. architecture. Mm-hmm. So you just decompile Legos and then you build a new different okay. structure, right? So it took us 2 weeks to go from concept to prototype in our production environment.
That's okay. unheard of in a government environment.
Right.
Yeah.
And part of that is you really have to approach from a standpoint, and our approach from this standpoint was, okay, as soon as you see that happen, you know the regulations are going to start to amp up, mm-hmm. and you know the oversight's going to amp up, which means more reporting. Mm-hmm. Agencies have terrible problems whenever they have to do, a department secretary wants a data call on something throughout a large department or even a small department.
Just can't get it.
And everybody's got to get out. And then typically what they're going to do is they're going to open up Excel.
Right.
They're start dumping information in, right? And then that's going to roll up. And nobody knows the source of that or whether it's right. even true, right? So data quality is a very, very big problem in government. So the idea is, and we're really good at putting guardrails around a business process. So we don't really care how much you weave between the guardrails, but we're not going to let you go through one.
Okay.
And the assumption there is also a different assumption than a lot of times you hear, especially policymakers make, mm-hmm. where, you know, it's all very heavy-handed. It's negative. It's based on compliance. It's based on determining whether you're in compliance or out of compliance. So government agencies, you know, OMB and these other mm-hmm. agencies, when they get concerned about something, then they start to want to police the process. Mm-hmm. Our approach is nobody really wants to be out of compliance mm-hmm. inherently. If they do, then you know that borders on criminal conduct,
sure,
and you can deal with that. However, you can deal with that.
You're trying to figure out how to make compliance easier.
But yeah, but if the guardrails are there, right. you know, it's smooth sailing.
And in that, what an app can do mm-hmm. is sometimes make the process, because, I mean, apps are supposed to be even more easier than just kind of like your baseline internet site or anything like that.
Right.
Because it's kind of walking you through.
Right.
You know, certain key things, you're hitting this, you're touching this, and it leads you to the direction.
Right. And then if
that's what you're thinking.
Yeah. And if it starts to get too close to a guardrail, mm-hmm. then basically our job is escalation. Mm-hmm. So the system, basically is intuitively going to escalate that to a different approval chain,
okay.
or it's basically, you know, a lot of our stuff is visual, mm-hmm. so you might have a little gauge that goes into red
mm-hmm.
and says,
mm-hmm.
"Boy, you're getting really you're hot
right.
orange right,
right.
now," and
right.
you know you're going over here, so you can see the visual indicators.
Okay.
This is what we love about you know iPad apps
right.
Is
right. Right.
the visual
right.
element is so strong, and that's really what people need to know, and then they can go back and say, how did I cross that line? Where did I cross that
mm-hmm.
line? And start re-examining,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether they want to go there or not.
I mean, I can see the usefulness of it, because mm-hmm. in a compliance environment or any environment, like
mm-hmm.
you said, if you have that kind of red thing and you say, this is due by such and such time period, and it says, like, listen, you don't have these things done and it's on red, you're
mm-hmm.
high risk.
Yeah.
Then I think there's a trigger point
yeah.
to kind of say, and if the manager can also see the same thing on
mm-hmm.
the app of whoever, you know, is a compliance person.
Right.
They can jump on and be like, listen, what's going on? I mean, we don't have this done yet.
Right. And the other...
Is that where we're headed?
Yep.
Is that where we want to head?
I think so. You know, because people don't... Very few people in their jobs work on a system all day long. They work on a system intermittently. oh, I'm supposed to put this conference together for my boss, so now I need to do that, mm-hmm. as opposed to, this is what I do all day long, right?
Right.
So it's got to be intuitive and easy to use.
When we come back, I want to talk about govinterns.com, which is another site that you guys just launched, mm-hmm. outside of avucentral.com. This is going to be targeted towards the students.
Yep.
We're going to be doing career pathways and everything else. Has a unique feel. We want to talk about what is going to be in it, how can students use it to benefit themselves, mm-hmm. and what are also agencies looking at with it in terms of monitoring or looking at students and looking at the new talent pool.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Linda Ricks. She's a co-CEO of AVU Technologies. They run AVUCentral.com and also GovInterns.com. They're also a solution provider for a number of solutions for federal government agencies. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join Tom Tem on June 12th at 2 p.m. for a dynamic panel on meeting your telework goals using client virtualization solutions. Sponsored by GovConnection, HP, and VMware. You'll hear from agency panelists Danette Campbell, Anil Carmel, Rick Colgate, Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, and industry expert David Young from VMware, discussing telework policy drivers, mandates, and updates, and the technology deployed at various agencies to support the telework mission. June 12th at 2 p.m.
It probably set back the program for a couple of years. Well, maybe they kept. But this demonstrated that cyber weapons could physically destroy critical infrastructure. Now, the problem is we have SCADA devices attaching all of the infrastructure we have in the U.S. Our dams, our electrical power grid, everything is remotely controlled by the Internet. And there are always a SCADA device in between the Internet connection and what the device is doing.
Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
What do the Geico Gecko and a lot of federal employees have in common? They have a great sense of humor and good comedic timing. Come see for yourself at DC's Funniest Fed Competition, sponsored by Geico. You'll see the DC area's funniest group of federal employees compete with their best stand-up comedy. The semifinals take place June 13th at the Virginia State Theater. The finals are June 22nd at the Lincoln Theater in DC. For tickets, go to funniestfed.com. That's funniestfed.com. Here's Adrian Gardner, CIO, NASA Goddard, on the Federal Executive Forum on Secure Cloud Computing, sponsored by Lockheed Martin.
When we build satellites, if there was a way to virtualize the entire front end of that development process, that would be a huge benefit from the standpoint of the scientists and engineers on the center. We would fly technology that was potentially a second or third generation more fresh than we would if we actually built it on the hardware and then stage it forward.
To listen to the entire program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
It happens millions of times every day. Cyber attacks aimed at the networks that are the brains and backbone of every government program and military mission. At Lockheed Martin, we understand the importance of cybersecurity. That's why we build security into every system we develop and integrate. Assuring that our customers can carry out their missions without disruptions is all a question of how. And it is the how that makes all the difference. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 AM. Please join me this week for my special guest, Rick Leeson, founder and CEO of Frontier Advisors, an investment management firm in McLean, Virginia. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Please visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com and tune in every week for Blueprint for Wealth.
We all fear having to use dirty public toilets, so three recently graduated Purdue University engineering students have invented a toilet seat washing machine. When you lower the lid, it's enveloped by a tightly sealed barrier. Then small amounts of the clean water from each flush are diverted into spinning lawn sprinkler-like blades.
And that builds up a lot of momentum, and that's how the blades clean off the entire seat, and we have wipers attached to that same mechanism, and the wipers dry off the seat.
Dimitri Sagamonian, a co-inventor of the Poseidon seat, says it works even without soap or added chemicals.
We've covered the seat with jelly, ground beef, sauce. We're trying peanut butter now, and the seat gets clean in an instant because you have all that water pressure.
Sagamonian says with no need for regular maintenance or electricity, its cost per use should be very low. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about solutions. Government solutions, technology solutions, using applications, iPad apps, Android apps, in order to solve government problems. Mm-hmm. We're talking to the co-CEO of Aview Technologies, Linda Ricks. They've been on the forefront of developing solutions. They've been on the App Store and on the app campaign for quite some time and have used them successfully with a lot of different federal agencies on HR processes,
right.
Now conference and event management processes and other things like that. Linda, you know, in terms, you know, we kind of talked about this, and we was kind of talking about this over the break.
Mm-hmm.
These apps, you know, really do allow a person to leave from their computer to jump onto their iPad or Android, still be able to do the same kind of work
right.
and everything else. That's the beauty of them. I mean, there's
yes.
the mobile dynamic. And I know you mentioned about telework. You're an advocate of that.
Yep.
I mean, you know, is that why you're looking at this and the cost savings, it's quality of life. I mean,
part of it's that, and I think the other part. Hopefully, the more of these that are in play and in use, the one thing I think the government has sort of started to miss is the direct connection with citizens.
Okay.
And what facilitates that, and it's one of the reasons why there's so many small government offices mm-hmm. in every town and hamlet, mm-hmm. right? And part of the reason that, you know, I think we want to see more mobility is because the ability to do work with the direct beneficiary and recipient of that is really crucial. Mm-hmm. And what these mobile devices do is they allow human-to-human interaction, mm-hmm. but at the same time mm-hmm. with that mobility, right? The other thing,
I could imagine somebody who's in charge of benefits at the VA or... you know, Social Security or somebody's, you know, dealing with IRS or whatever, being able to have their app
yep.
and being able to go to somebody's home
yes.
or be in some kind of public place
mm-hmm.
where they're out, they're not just in the office where no one can get to them, where there's this long line now.
Right.
I mean, I could imagine just, you know, that would be an ideal scenario. I mean, almost like waiting mm-hmm. for the Comcast person to come. And
exactly.
you know, but you're waiting and the government person is coming and they handle your stuff right there and,
yep.
and move on to the next person.
Yeah. And the other thing, we were talking a little bit about the VA announcement about the app they have in the App Store on PTSD
okay.
Diagnostics and whatnot. That, to me, is a crucial element of the broader nature of the role of government. The role of government in delivering services to citizens involves not just the beneficiary and the recipient, but also family members and people who may be affiliated in that way. And I mean, it's one of the nicer things that I think helps the government produce a very positive role out in the field directly with people that vote, that, you know, do the kinds of things that may not see all of the benefit that they're getting from their federal government. And this allows for that to be much more expansive. So I think ultimately that's the direction you want to go. I mean, a lot of our stuff is related to workforce management and so on. But I think ultimately what really helps the average American is when the experience with their government is positive and is, you know, reflects a on-the-ground understanding of the circumstance.
With your gov interns, as you're looking at this,
yeah.
the dynamic and you know, because this spawned out of the career pathways.
Right.
And, I mean, the concern, you know, that the whole federal internship process is kind of changing. What is gov interns about? And if yeah. a student... you know, came onto the site and said, hey, listen, I'm going to start getting myself on here.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the experience like?
We're trying to make their experience entirely consistent with all of their experience
okay.
With technology. So it has to have a mobile app look and feel, okay. a smartphone look and feel. It will be, there was a smartphone version that will come out with the online version, okay? It has to look like Facebook, Twitter. You know, it has to look like a common type of site that is not a job application process, mm-hmm. but a you know, communication central to a very, very wide, diverse group of people who have one common element, and that's how, and that's social media and how they interact. And it's so common, and it's worldwide mm-hmm. As a standard, right? Mm-hmm, so our take on it was Pathways was a perfect opportunity to move the government from this very bureaucratic, staid approach to things and say, okay, now this is the perfect time to go all social media okay. with what you're doing. And it happens to be in a program that has... and again, we'll put the guardrails mm-hmm, in and mm-hmm, do all of that. Mm-hmm. But it happens to be in a program that's new, and therefore there are no expectations. Okay. You know, there are no pre-built sort of
fresh
expectations.
Ideas.
Right? Yeah. In fact, the regs aren't even, you know, the ink's not even dry on the regs. Okay. So you know, you look for that opportunity, and that's a perfect placement. It's just a precision shot to say, okay, this is how it could feel for the candidate.
Okay.
Without having to have legislative change on hiring process reform right. or the president signs a memo or does all these things. Right. This is just a great opportunity okay. to just go, okay. you know, all the way with it.
Do you think in terms of govinterns.com,
mm-hmm.
and I know we were talking about this over the break, about the concern and even some polling that has showed the lack of interest
yep.
or, you know, and this goes up and down,
mm-hmm.
Maybe during the kind of times of 9/11 and you know, the past couple, you know, years following that, people got very interested in government service, you know, at least mm-hmm. Homeland Security, national security, intelligence. But we're starting to see that decline
mm-hmm.
of government interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, why do you think that's the case? And do you think that a program like GovInterns can maybe get people and get these students back reengaged?
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope so. You know, I think the main draw that the government has to get, you know, its head wrapped around is they're inherently the HR process does not offer a candidate an opportunity to really showcase their personality.
Mm-hmm.
And generationally,
yeah.
There is an expectation, I think, by people coming into the workforce today that they will be measured on the merits, on their skills, but that they also will be acknowledged as a human being, a whole person with a whole life,
mm-hmm.
and that they're so used to using, you know, Facebook is a really great example of the massive personalization of a technology, right? Mm-hmm. And so our approach to Pathways is to say, this is you. This is how the recruiters are going to see you. Put up the pictures you want them
mm-hmm.
to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, engage mm-hmm. in the conversations you want to engage in. You know, go through the process of presenting yourself how you want to be presented. And if the recruiter finds that off-putting, at least they're going to know that before you get into a cubicle. And then they say, well, now you need to conform.
Right.
So I like that whole element to being able to captivate okay. the interest of the applicants okay. by doing that.
Is with all of that, when they look into this portal, I'm looking at a copy of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're similar to like a Facebook, you said. I mean, you've got
yeah.
a lot of information on you, you've got the work experience, you've got agencies you're following,
mm-hmm.
You've got any kind of references, you've got any ideas and thoughts. I mean, you got a number of different things on here
mm-hmm.
and you can have your own profile.
Right.
This is very much so you know, once a student does all of this,
mm-hmm.
is what they can expect is that this is being made accessible to the recruiters, and then recruiters can look for them.
Right.
Or are they on here, and then it can say, you know what, now it's time for me to do my search
mm-hmm.
for either these internships or any kind of opportunities?
Yeah,
I mean, what's going to be both?
It's both.
Okay.
And the recruiters will be able to go in and mine a very, very extensive talent pool. It's designed for the people in the talent pool to communicate with each other about opportunities. You know, got this job, it's great. Got this job, it's horrible.
Mm.
You know, so you're going to start seeing, again, that whole dynamic of the you know, who's going to be, you know, really driving change in government, and it's going to probably come from the applicant base, which is where it should come from. You know, so they'll be communicating with each other. They get, you know, we'll give them opportunities to rate, you know, like, and, you know, go through the process of following recruiters and having recruiters follow them. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about where are we going to be heading, you know, with the federal HR process. You're seeing the contracting. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a shrinking of government. You know, I mean, I want to talk about your take as a CEO of a company who's doing government contracting and kind of watching the market.
Mm-hmm.
I want to kind of get your take as we close out the show.
Okay.
We're talking to Linda Rick. She's co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com. They also run a new site for students called GovInterns.com?
GovInterns.com.
So INTERNS.com. GovInterns.com. If you are a student, and I think Pathways was opened up to people who have graduated a little bit two years after graduation.
Yes.
So if you're a student, an alum, a recent alum, you're looking at these federal programs, the Career Pathways program the federal government just started, or any kind of internship, volunteer management program, anything else, you need to take a look at this site, possibly get yourself on there, and let also recruiters start looking for you. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Teresa Hancock, director of My Health eVet National Program from the Department of Veterans Affairs, on the Gateway to Veterans Health and Wellness panel.
The secretary said, I want the veterans to have an online portal that they could access easily. He said, 9 times out of 10, we think of those veterans who are enrolled in the system, but not My Health eVet. We need to have a web portal that's both for veterans who are enrolled, but also non-enrolled. That's one of our unique features. The web portal is both for enrolled and non-enrolled veterans.
To listen to the whole program, log on to Federal News Radio.com.
My Health eVet, VA's personal health record, helps veteran patients actively participate in their health and well-being. If you're a VA patient, consider upgrading your account today at myhealth.va.gov. With an upgraded account, veterans can securely access personal health records online 24/7. An upgraded account offers secure messaging, which strengthens the partnership between veterans and your healthcare team. To learn more, visit myhealth.va.gov. That's myhealth.va.gov. Take control of your VA healthcare.
And now, on the home front, sponsored by your local Jeep dealers.
If you enjoy getting mail, think about the men and women serving in war. Care packages are a terrific way to say thanks and I'm thinking of you, especially for military families wanting to connect with their faraway service member. One military spouse says her husband loved getting DVDs, CDs, books, and sports magazines. He also loved getting American newspapers, especially the sports section. You can try themes like a book theme care package, which would consist of a good book, a book light, a bookmark, and snacks to nosh on. How about movie in a box? Of course, pack the movie, an entertainment section of a newspaper, popcorn, and candy. But do skip chocolate, since that can arrive in a big melted gooey mess. Want a few extra things to toss in? Think necessity. Throw in coffee, sunblock, bug repellent, and lip balm.
Make tracks to your local Jeep vehicle dealer today and take advantage of an exciting military cash allowance on the full line of legendary Jeep vehicles. And Jeep wants to express its extreme gratitude and pride for your military service.
Staying focused on your mission requires making smart decisions and mitigating unnecessary risks. That's why many agencies turn to GSA. With unparalleled experience in acquisition and financial compliance and technical expertise, GSA makes it easy for federal civilian and military customers to maintain mission focus and enhance program performance by adding value. With trained professionals in contracting, financial, and program management, GSA stands ready to help execute large-scale and or complex and or sensitive IT and professional services projects while maintaining seamless compliance with today's tough mandates. With GSA, you gain a trusted partner to ensure delivery promises are kept on time, on budget, and at best value. To learn how GSA can help, call 703-605-3699. That's 703-605-3699. Or visit gsa.gov/AAS. That's gsa.gov/AAS. GSA, providing custom solutions to your complex requirements.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, MetLife, and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
What do the Geico Gecko and a lot of federal employees have in common? They have a great sense of humor and good comedic timing. Come see for yourself at D.C.'s Funniest Fed Competition, sponsored by GEICO. You'll see the D.C. area's funniest group of federal employees compete with their best stand-up comedy. The semifinals take place June 13th at the Virginia State Theater. The finals are June 22nd at the Lincoln Theater in D.C. For tickets, go to funniestfed.com. That's funniestfed.com.
Celebrate summer at Safeway's Barbecue Battle, June 23rd and 24th on Pennsylvania Avenue. Benefiting the Boys and Girls Clubs, this great family event features free food samples in Safeway's Sampling Pavilion, free kids rides and activities, plus 30 bands on three stages. Hear Soul Asylum on Famous Dave's music stage and a special tribute to the legendary Chuck Brown on the Pepsi Next Lay's stage. Easy to get to by Metro. Call 202-828-3099 or visit bbqdc.com. We'll see you at the BBQ.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're just having a laugh in the studio and talking about some different things. We're talking to co-CEO Linda Ricks. She is in studio with me right now, and she's the co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They're a solution provider for the federal government. They run AVIEWCentral.com, which is a federal website that has jobs on it and has different federal agencies using their site to recruit different applicants. And they also have GovInterns.com, which is a new site. They're just launching to deal with this career pathways and everything else and really get students and get those who are recent alums back engaged within government and get them hired within the career pathway program. That's where the next, would you say, Linda, that is, you know, I think we were talking about this, the next level of government worker, who's going to be maybe that solution provider, who's going to be thinking innovatively, is really the young people who have grown up as a Facebook generation. Would you say that?
Right.
Yeah. What do you think the impact is that is going to be? Are we going to really start seeing a shifting of government, of how maybe government works because of what this new group has really been experiencing over the past couple of years?
I think it will be interesting. I think it will be very painful. At first, for agencies whose expectations may not meet the needs of the millennial generation, or whose expectations of their sort of compliance or conformance to a particular model may not be maybe less than perfect along those lines. But I do think that as the retirements start to pick up, and we start to really start focusing on replenishing that workforce, there will be a crisis in government. And the crisis will not be necessarily a big, huge retirement tsunami, although we did see an uptick at the beginning of this year. And January is usually your big retirement month. But I think what we will see as the budgets get tighter, particularly if things like they move from high three to high five on retirement, there's an ongoing, I guess the pay freeze is going to be extended. Those kinds of things. I think people will start to leave, and then government will start to go, okay, what are we going to do to replenish that workforce? Where are we going to find that talent, and how are we going to get them in here? And I think that is going to be a more profound driver of the change and the shift. And then once they're here, because we have such a high attrition rate with young under 30 new hires, I think we're going to have to really get wrapped around how do we encourage them, how do we engage them, and make sure that they are going to stay and have a sustainable track record with an agency.
You know, as we're looking towards the future, you know, in the last few minutes we have, what do you see? I mean, you look at the genie ball, and you and even as you're developing solutions, just like you followed the, do you think, especially maybe even for government contractors in the private sector, do you think that it is now a matter of really looking at government and kind of seeing where government is having these problems mm-hmm. in terms of growing. And then as solution providers, do you think it's incumbent upon you guys to start developing solutions and then take it to government rather than waiting for RFP to come out and government saying that mm-hmm. we need this? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's how it used to be.
Right.
Government had, you know, said, and then they put it on FBO mm-hmm. and they say, hey, we need this, and people start bidding.
Mm-hmm.
Are we changing the paradigm now?
Yeah. I think several things that would tell me that's true mm-hmm. Is the cloud first initiative by OMB.
Okay.
So whatever's out there, if it's in the cloud and you can download it like that and you can start using it and it's economical and it's a utility tool like email, for sure. example, then why not? Why would you put out a big RFP? There's, you know, X number of these, you right. know what the cost is, and go.
Right.
FedRAMP is another. FedRAMP is this pre-certification of systems from a security standpoint, okay? So that takes care of billions of dollars in trying to get systems certified over and over and over again inside government. So just because you have a justice certification doesn't mean you have one for the Department of Commerce,
mm-hmm.
you know, but FedRAMP takes care of that. So there are some mechanisms in place that are going to do that. What that will do, however, is contractors mm-hmm. make a lot of money mm-hmm. on cybersecurity mm-hmm. things. They make a lot of money on process reengineering and helping agencies with RFP development. And, you know, these are things that contractors are big partners in. And so big firms need to readjust and mm-hmm. say, you know, these are companies whose profits are based on how many bodies they can deploy and how profitable or how much revenue per body mm-hmm. they have. They've got to change to, we need to have a solution set that we offer that we invested in building, that we didn't take taxpayer money mm-hmm. and build according to a set of specs
right.
that were written 5 years ago
right.
For a problem yeah. we no longer have, right?
right?
So there's the big paradigm shift, and I think it's definitely happening.
It's definitely happening.
Yeah.
It will... I guess the real way to make it happen is the procurement process. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds as if one of the big challenges has to be a change
mm-hmm.
in how the government can acquire things and how mm-hmm. it's to shorten the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the process takes too long, whatever's been done now is no longer even relevant again. I mean, if you're
right.
taking 2-3 years or whatever that cycle is to get people on board,
mm-hmm.
then it's just too long. It kills innovation.
Right. It kills innovation. It kills adoption of okay. innovation as well. And I agree with you. I'm an advocate of, if you put a departmental secretary in charge of a department, then that individual should have the same delegated authority as a CEO has
mm-hmm.
to buy what they need to buy,
mm-hmm.
To put the money where they need to put it,
mm-hmm.
Make their goals mm-hmm. and their targets, but they should not have a whole bunch of people that inside their organization that they have to get through all of these hurdles in order for them to manage effectively. I think that's just a false premise.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We're talking about where things are going with the federal government. Hopefully, it's going towards apps. Hopefully, it's going towards solutions being provided very, very quickly. We're hoping that the federal government, as we go into 2013 and other years,
mm-hmm.
as a smaller and more robust federal government that's providing better solutions using apps and everything else. Linda, thank you for your insight on
thank
where
you.
Things are going. We're looking to see what Gov interns do, looking to hear about this conference and event module, and also any kind of new things you've got going with the retirement app.
Yeah.
AVIEW Technologies are doing a lot of different great things. Can you find all your stuff on your website? Is everything
yeah.
on there?
Yeah, AVIEWTech.com.
AVIEWTech.com mm-hmm. is the website. AVIEWCentral.com is their job site. GovInterns.com is the site for the students to check out. Thank you so much, Linda, for coming on FedAccess.
Thank you.
You've been listening to FedAccess with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. FedAccess with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFPD. Your source for federal news now.